For the first time ever, I gotta move this mic out. Man, this mic is so much in the way. So in the way. Okay. I gotta like reach my arm like underneath. All right. So we are broadcasting. We are live. There's probably about a 4 second delay as I'm calculating, to be honest. Go ahead and say something. Let me see if it switches.
What's up?
All right, so far we have zero views.
Top 10 reasons to choose BDR.
This would be a chat for us between ourselves.
Right.
Are you seeing it?
I don't know. I don't see anything.
So go to my YouTube channel and make sure you mute the sound, and you should be able to see the chat. But it's there's there is no one here, at least as far as I know. Let's see. I don't. Oh, you know what? Oh no, there is. Let's see.
It doesn't show that you're live. No, nothing.
Does it?
Not on YouTube.
You sure? We have one watching now. It's probably you.
No,
Oh, I see. Okay.
I would go to my subscriptions and it would show that you would be live right now.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I have it hidden. Hold on 1 second. Let's edit video. Oh, it's unlisted. That's why. Okay, so we're going public. Duh. I know I'm gonna have to get something to drink, yo. Know? This should just bought the
Parched.
whole water and ginger ale in. All right, so you should see it right now.
No.
Do you see it?
Mm-mm.
Try to refresh the page.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Right, view on watch page.
Set on the home, set on my subscriptions.
I'm watching this. You sure? Maybe I can turn it off and then. Oh man.
There we go. Yeah. Live now.
Okay. So I'm gonna go get something to drink.
All
There's zero views right now, as far as
right.
I know. One person watching, which is either me or you. I'll be right back. All right, it says two people are watching. Probably just me and you. Let's see. All right. No one so far. So this live thing is doing quite well for us. Gotta put this mic down.
There's definitely a delay.
Yeah. Would hope we would have more people.
Well, some of the 7,000 subscribers.
Huh? Yeah.
So much for 7,000 subscribers.
Yeah, they don't like streaming. They don't
It's
like
harder. I
that.
mean, it's harder.
Yeah, it's a first one anyway, so.
I'm just over here eating. Yeah, nothing.
I don't see anyone for 5 minutes in. Let's try this on Facebook.
We have to talk about.
I got to delete this off my channel now because talking. It's out there, right? It's you can see it, right?
Yeah, because I went to your channel and it says live now.
Let me send a link to Elise Ryan.
Q&A learning PDR. Business industry news tools.
Oh yeah.
How do I sound? Do I sound like I'm on headphones?
You do when you move, but I mean, you sound pretty good. I mean, I can't compare it. If you want to take them off, I can kind of, you know.
Would be without them.
Yeah, that's it, right? Without it.
That's without that's computer mic.
That's about the same. It's about the same.
3 minutes remaining.
All right, we're gonna go about 15 minutes. I know a few other YouTubers that will wait like 20 minutes to start building up their thing, but since we figured this out, I'm gonna make an event anyway,
Yeah.
and we'll just get the our visual and audio. But I'm gonna order.
Well, at least we kind of know what we're doing.
I mean, we should be at least be able we were at least able to start it. I'm looking at this nice $52 Logitech HD
Of
webcam.
course, of course. I get on the phone with you and buy something from Amazon, of course. Buy it.
I don't really like that one. I want one that sits on my computer. Oh wow, they're talking about the C9. Yeah, I won't be getting that. That's the one they're talking about. Nope, I'm gonna be getting this capture device. Actually, it's okay. I'm gonna be keeping what I got. It is not a big deal. My mic sounds good,
Yeah,
audio sounds clear.
does.
So hey, that's better than most. We'll get that later. All right. I clicked off. I don't know how many views we do have.
Two. We have two.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you. Where is the daggone? Oh, it looks like I can't find it. I must have deleted it. Oh, man. Welcome a bit. Bedtime.
8:30.
It won't even say switch account. It won't even add. Come on. Ah. There's no account there. Why are you ridiculous? There we go. All right, let's see where we're at. How many views now? 2. I don't even know. Oh, here we go. View watching page. Yeah, we have no views. That sucks. We were going to spit some knowledge, man. We were going to talk about the 10 reasons, or not even 10, just like 2 or 3 reasons of why to choose PDR first.
We were, yeah.
We were, but we got 3 people watching. So some outsiders here. We can at least talk to him about the reasons why to choose PDR first over the body shop. And some reasons why you would choose the body shop more so than PDR. So hopefully this guy can talk in chat because it's supposed to be a Q&A. Let's see. I'm about to start sharing this link here. All right, start getting more and more people around in this chat. I'm gonna start sharing it on Facebook. You wanna grab the link real quick? There we go. I'm about to start sharing in this big PDR group real quick. Boom. I just shared. All right. All right. Got 3 people watching. No one responding, no. All right, well. And he just dropped off. Oh, man, I'm back. So, for the one person that's here, this is a Q&A. Ask us anything. You have me, Chris, at Dentless Touch. And you have Dave at Windy City Dent Repair. So for the people that are watching, please ask away in the chat and we'll try our best to answer. One of the topics that we're going to talk about today is some of the reasons why you would choose PDR over a body shop and then a body shop, a conventional repair over PDR. So please, guys, use the chat if you can so we can start trying to answer you guys' questions if you have any. We could talk about tools, the industry, any news, business, learning PDR, anything like that. Sorry for the all caps. All right. There we go. It was good to see another person texting than me. So let's just So, Dave, let's just talk about some of the reasons for why you would use a, you know, why would you choose PDR over a body shop?
Time.
That's very good. I my favorite word is cycle time. So, time for the body shop compared to a conventional repair, and for the customer, definitely helping them out with time. So, what's the next one? Come on.
Do you ever think that traditional body shops will ever have resident PDR technicians? From Carter Patton.
Oh, I just read that one. Oh, I didn't even. I do think they will have some form of a PDR tech, if that's what you want to call it. We are in talks with a few that may be doing some of the same techniques, but it takes years to do what we do. So I don't think a bodyman or someone that kind of does it off to the side would really perfect their craft enough to do what we do and what we charge on a retail level.
We do this every day.
Yeah, and that's the difference. I know when I train guys, I always tell my guys, don't go without 2 days of actually pushing, seeing that light, because it's muscle memory. And
if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Yeah, if you don't use it, you lose it. So that's PDR. I've worked with a guy that was out of the industry for about 2 years, and I was running laps around him. And he came to me and was like, man, I'm sorry. I was kind of in your way. And he was faster than me when before he left. So like you said, if you don't use it, you lose it. Good question. So we're making this work. This is pretty good. I like this. So guys, continue to ask away. We're just going to try to share this link a little bit more, try to get more people on it. My phone is going off. All right. So going back to our topic, what's another reason of why PDR is chosen? Oh, sorry, guys. Why PDR is chosen over body shop, conventional repairs?
You're not using aftermarket filler.
Yes, that is a good one.
I think that's key. That you're saving the original paint, you're saving the factory paint, factory clear, and you're not, you know, if Joe's having a bad day and then Bob's having a bad day, Joe's going to fill it with a bunch of Bondo, sand it all down, maybe smooth, maybe flat, maybe not. And Bob over at the paint shop, if he's having a bad day, you got a three-tone car now.
Oh. Yeah. Well, what if we're having a bad day? I guess we don't get paid because that means we're doing some damage.
If I can't fix it, I don't charge.
Yeah, so. Same way with me. If it's something, especially if it's actually my fault, I actually fix it. It is what it is. But that's what I do. So you know, not to bash the body shop. I know a few people. I know a few people, dang, man, I got to get this phone off of me. I know a few people are, do good body work. So they will straighten that panel, but it's just more abrasive to me. You know, if that dent can be removed PDR, I think it's better. It's a better repair. What's the next one, Dave? Dave, you're texting Hudson? We can get him on there too.
I mean, so what I tell my customers is, you know, I even today I had a customer. I didn't know that the service was around. I said, well, you know, we do work in conjunction with the body shops. We do have to work with body shops. They have to use us, and we do, you know, have to use them or at least pass damage off onto them that is too severe for PDR. I said, but what we try to do, at least at Windy City, is try to save you time, try to save you a little bit of money. Give you a way better repair, superior repair. And sorry, I just drew a blank. I don't have like a, I don't want to say spiel, but I do have a process of what I do tell my customers, that we are saving you time, we're saving you money. We try to just make this as hassle-free as possible, right? And repair your vehicle and bring it right back to, you know, its original state, in a timely fashion, I don't want to say money saving fashion too, but we're able to do that as well.
Right. Well, guys, if you guys are just joining, we have Dave here at Windy City Dent Repair in Chicago. And obviously, hopefully you guys would know me, Chris at Dentless Touch. So we're trying to go over some, if you guys have any questions, please in the chat, just send us any questions in the chat and we'll try to do our best to answer them. Anything about PDR, anything about the industry, the business, the tools, anything like that. Will says, how long have you guys been in the business? I've been doing paintless dent repair for 13 years.
I've been doing it for seven.
For seven. Okay.
I used to work in a body shop as a porter before that, for about three. So I've been around the process for almost 10 years now.
Yeah. Hopefully that answers your question. Let's go off the skill level. Where do you think, Dave, that you can consider yourself a master technician? Where do you think you kind of excel? What year? You want me to go first?
No, I'm just okay. Thinking. I don't know. I say I picked it up pretty fast. There's a lot of people that I see who put tools in their hands and they just don't get it. Some people get it, some people don't. Some people can do this, some people can't. You're working with your eyes and your hands, you're making those work together. And it's, you know, I don't want to say, but it's art, you know, and
yeah, definitely.
And definitely. You can get better in time. You can perfect your skill over time. Some people it just takes longer. That's all it is. It's a skill. As with anything, you have to put in the work to become really good. But I would say year three for me, I was already pushing out body lines on fenders and taking on some pretty severe damage. A lot of the veteran technicians that I was around were pretty amazed that in the short amount of time that I had been pushing, that I was already excelling in my skill. But I have seen techs who, you know, either I started with or have been around for, you know, a long time, who still just
mediocre.
yeah, to say the least.
Average. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's still right. A skill, you know. At the end of the day, it's skill. And
what about you?
I was like year 4 to 5. I went through this transition where it was just a job for like the first 2 to 3, maybe 4 years. And I said, you know what? I want to make the best of what I'm doing. Right around probably about year 4. And I started picking up a lot more tools. I started investing into myself and started just paying attention, I guess the best way of saying it. So, and I was able to learn more and kind of absorb more information. I was more willing to be taught, I guess the best way of saying it. So
I was the self-challenging. I wanted to take on bigger damage. These little, you know, quarter-sized dents and doors and stuff like that. They just
they bored you, huh?
I saw what other people were fixing, especially online, and I wanted to be at that level.
Right.
I strive every day to be at that level.
Right.
Some people have that. Some people don't. Some people it is just a job for them.
Yeah, I was young and you know, ambition wasn't there at the beginning. It was the best job I've had. So at that particular time, and I wasn't making a lot of money at all, and it was all new to me. So it was a little overwhelming. So, you know, it is what it is. And after about, I guess.
What about you? But you have a couple technicians. you have employees, you have technicians. What are you seeing with them?
So I try not to have them fall in a trap that I have of complacency. So I try to motivate them, show them what some of the bigger guys have been doing. You know, when I was out there, they didn't have iPhones. That wasn't the first phone I had when I was running my routes. We didn't have pagers, but we had little cell phones. I was handwriting all my schedules. And it's just, that's the way we work. So I didn't have Facebook. For a long time, I didn't care for Facebook. So that was one of the things that kind of hindered me to see some of the bigger dents that people were actually fixing. So I think when I really started, I always had a second job when I first started. So when I started making this my number one career, that was when I kind of changed. But going back to my technicians, I just try not to let them be complacent. Try to always show them that, you know, what other techs are able to do. And I think having me available to them, I'm always trying to push them to the next level. Always trying to put them on that fine line of, you know, fear and confidence, and or being confident, I guess the best way to say it. But and once they're right there on that line, that's when I really know what kind of person they are. And I really like the guys that, you know, kind of push forward and get the job done right there, right when they're on that line of fear. I always just shock them with something almost different every day. But I think it's life skills that they need. So and so far, my team, I mean, it's not just they work for me. It's a team. And these guys help me out every day, and I try to do my best to help them out every day. So,
of course,
it's been a blessing, honestly.
Well, Sam here said, any advice on sharp, deep dents?
You want to go, or you want me to go?
For me, heat, constant heat.
Yeah, definitely
heat. Number two is what I like to do for sharp, deep dents. I like to take that board and kind of pull it away from the door instead of putting it close to the panel. Get that light really shining down deep into the center of that dent so I can see that first push. That's kind of my go-to. Constant heat, taking that board, pulling it away from that panel, getting it reflecting down into the center of that dent, mm-hmm. and then slowly working that board closer to the panel and farther away.
Yep. So heat, but what I like to do is on a sharp dent, I don't like to use a bare tool. I like to use a little bit of tape. There's a Mercedes-Benz tape that I've used since 2011. You can find it on a lot of PDR companies. It's Tesla tape. Sometimes they change the formula. So whatever the model it is. So it's just better to just buy it from the PDR stores. It's like $22. So I wrap maybe 4 or 5 inches of this tape around a sharp tool, and it gives me a little bit of cushion to play with. But I still need that sharp tool to actually take the sharp dent out. I can't use a push, like a push cap, to take that out. So with a combination of constant heat, I like to get the temp up to about 140 on my heat gun. It may be different on yours. I've pushed it to 155. So I'm saying 140 should be a safe bet for you guys. And then just slowly push the center. And like Dave said, push that light closer. That's my method. So it's probably pretty same as yours.
Any reviews of the new tools from MTE? I know you made a couple videos and you released those on your channel. Have you used any of your tools from MTE that you had purchased?
I have been so I've been so busy trying to get those videos out for you guys. No problem, Sam. That I've only used a few. What is that CarePoint tool that you had me buy? I used that today. I used it today.
Yeah, it's got that little 90 degree. I don't know the actual number for it. I don't even know if there's a name for it, but it's got that right angle,
right, right.
Hooks all the way up. I love that thing.
Yeah, so I use that today on a Mini Cooper. You use a dent dial?
I still haven't used it. Still sitting there.
Yeah, So if you guys got 9 people watching, just so you know, we have Dave here from Windy City Dent Repair. And I probably won't say that too much, but Dave here from Windy City Dent Repair in Chicago. And Chris, obviously my name is Chris, and from Dentless Touch. So Dave actually has a YouTube channel. Make sure you guys go ahead and follow it. Dave, can you go ahead and type your YouTube channel in the chat so maybe you can – he does amazing, amazing work. Straight up guy, so definitely check out his YouTube channel. And his Instagram is pretty lovely too. So do we have any? There we go, right there. Sam says, so back to the reviews. What's another tool? Oh, I do have a I did pick up 2 Hell Lights from PDR Pride. I mean PDR Pro PDR. Getting that mixed up. What's up, buddy? Oh, he's already a sub. So from Pro PDR, I think it's a great light. The fade is amazing. I think they're one of the first chubby wide lights. So, you know, I think they pretty much have that game unlocked. I spoke with the new owner, and the time to actually get your light and repairs and all that good stuff is, he said, within 2 days. So I thought that was very good.
Yeah, that's really, really good, because I tried to buy one of the lights earlier this year. I think they were on back order for about 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I opt for a cheaper option, but I think you got another light, right? Because
I bought the A1 light with the stand. I think it was about $600, but I was in a pinch and I needed it ASAP.
Right.
I bought it and it has not failed me. I do wish I would have actually got the Chubby HD from Pro PDR, but in a bind like that, I couldn't wait.
Yeah, that's good. So what other tools did we pick up? You picked up the new VIP Knockdown.
Love it. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Stays in my pocket. Stays in the truck. It stays everywhere. Definitely love it. I've been using the 1.5 version. I think he has that 2.0 version. I still haven't used that one yet. But the 1.5, I absolutely love.
Nice.
Dent dial I still haven't used yet. I use some of those square tabs from Kiko or Black Plague. I forget which one, those new square tabs.
Okay.
They are really, really nice. They pull hard. They pull really, really hard. That root beer glue from Anson, I tried that out. Amazing glue. I'm trying to think of what else. A couple whale tails that had come out from Dentcraft, that new 15-inch. I still haven't used that actual size yet. Kind of repetitive from all the other whale tails that I have, but
yeah, that 15 inch, sometimes you just need
that. You just need that size. Yeah.
Yeah. It may stay at the bottom of your pile of tools, but that one day that you need it, you're going to need it. So I'm trying to get, all right. So is anything in the chat? Dave, I'm kind of trying to link this up with Hudson, really. I'm trying to send him the link real quick. So, anyway.
Did you learn everything from trial and error, or did you have a mentor to guide you along?
I basically, it was trial and error. The company that I worked for at that time, the company I worked for at that time basically was like, here's a book of cards, have at it. My integrity made sure I did the best job that I possibly can, but I've only trained for 3 months. So I didn't take on as much damage as I take on now, the severity of the damage, but, that's pretty much kind of how I learned. I tried to learn how to pass out cards, how to talk to managers. It was all a challenge. It was a learning curve. For real.
It's very difficult in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I had one company train me, and it was for about 2 weeks, and I thought I knew everything after those 2 weeks. everything. I got hired on with another company and was sent to proper training for about 2 months. Really good training. But still, even after those, 2 months and 2 weeks, it was still another 2 years of trial and error, of trying to understand using these tools to push metal with this light and trying to explain to someone what we do is very difficult.
Right.
And it really is only, I think it's just a hands-on thing, and it's a lot of trial and error, seeing how far you can push metal, seeing how far you can take these tools to get something as clean as possible, as clean of a repair as possible. It's very, very difficult. It's a lot of trial and error. In the beginning, there was paint cracking, and there was tool slipping, and there was, just a lot of mistakes made. There's a lot of mistakes being made, but only you would only know through trial and error.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's an art. So if an artist was teaching someone how to draw, it would start with the basics. So unfortunately, there's not much basic to dent repair. There's challenges every day. So it's more time that you're going to actually have an error. So the possibilities at the beginning of errors is very high, I think. What I do for my guys when I train them is, you're not going to get it in 3 months. There's no way. You can probably get a 1-inch dent out in 3 months, maybe 2-inch dent, very, easy accessible dent. So, but some of these tougher body lines, which pretty much comes in every single day, they require a lot more skill. So, but for my guys, I basically let them, experience it on some of the, some of our panels that we have in the shop, and I let them pretty much work through those panels. And on weekends and throughout the week, I pretty much do training sessions, or I try to at least do training sessions. I'm pretty busy, but I try to do training sessions so that way they could try those different things with me standing over there. I can give them pointers. I had one guy working with me, and the way he was just standing, there was no way he was going to get power in that tool. So that was something I noticed immediately when he came and worked with me. Hopefully that answered your questions. yes. Yep. What is your thought process when we are approaching creases in panels? So what is your thought process when you are approaching creases in panels?
So I actually did a crease today on a Dodge Caravan, the video I just actually uploaded to YouTube. And I was sent a picture of the damage, and it didn't look that bad from the photos. I quoted it out. I get there in person. It's a little bit deeper than what I thought. But it's pretty much the same thing for creases. I like to take that board, get it as far away from that panel as possible, shining onto that dent, so I can really see the center of it. Right. And I make small passes all the way across that crease. I don't do one pass and try to poke it all up or bring it all up at once. I do nice, soft passes throughout the entire crease, very, very close pushes.
So my method is, I angle the light parallel with the dent. So
correct. Yes, correct.
The creases is this way. My light is pretty much
parallel right with it. Yeah.
So it's parallel with the light, and then I work that area first. Within some common sense. Now I'm not gonna just push it high, and I know I'm gonna have a whole bunch of cleanup work when I bring it flat. So I put the light back horizontal, and then I work it that way, and then again vertical, and then work it that way and kind of just back and forth until, you know, it's glass. And small pushes, I don't like Dave said, I don't try to push it up all at the same time. I kind of finesse it all the way up.
I just do slow, steady passes with close pushes all the way across until I get closer to that final that I'm really making some finalizing pushes.
Yeah, I mean, creases are something that's definitely more challenging, I think. I did probably about four creases last week. And it was just
that crease Mustang, after crease. I remember you said you had that Mustang.
Oof, that was 22 inches long crease in this Mustang video I'm about to release. And it was just, oh my God, it was crazy. But it was good when I was done. So, but it took me 5 hours to do that repair.
The hardest part is just keeping those pushes so close together so that in the end you don't get that zippered result. I mean, that's key. Yeah. I feel like once you start getting pushes that aren't close together on top of each other, you're not layering those pushes right alongside each other, that you're going to get that zipper effect. And trying to get those little lows that are in between that zipper can be very, very difficult.
Yep. So Mobile Tech RX, I love the software. I don't use it. You said for the business, so I'll go in depth with that. I don't use it for any of my payment QuickBooks or anything like that. I use QuickBooks, so I just sync it over to QuickBooks. I don't use it for anything other than estimating and just keeping files of every car that I look at or I've done. It definitely helps me out. With the business on who does what, so we can make sure we pay the right person. But that's pretty much it. It says, how do you like the Medusa adapter for the light stand from the Limited? I was talking about getting one since my suction cup is just starting to slip. Which one is he talking about? Is he talking about the...
Those from a Limited.
Is that... Which one is that?
I thought it attaches your Limited board to the hail light.
Oh, to like those stands?
I believe so. I thought
yes, Sam. Get that. That it's expensive. I don't understand why it's $150, and then the stand I believe is another $150. But yes, Hudson, dragging does get rid of the. I did fix most of that dent. Was dragging my tool, so, but on sharp dents it just doesn't work too well. But on soft, shallow creases, dragging the tool does work.
I couldn't do that today. It was in the lower portion of a door, of a Dodge Grand Caravan, right above that middle body molding, and so I had a regular door tool going all the way down, and there was no wiggle room up top. I couldn't drag that tip of that tool, at least in a straight line. So it was just slow, steady pushes all the way down. That's just me. Unless Dent Gents show me a video, show me a how-to. I'll watch it on Facebook. I'll watch.
I think in certain cases, I don't want to drag because of kind of the how should I put it?
I feel you could just mess some things up real quick, real fast.
And that's pretty much it. How precise I need to actually do these pushes. There's certain damage that you just cannot drag. To me, it works good on nice shallow crease. I mean, anything works good on nice shallow dents, if you ask me. But on these little sharp dents, like the one you did, the one I did on this Mustang is insane. You ain't dragging that. I'll tell you that. That thing was borderline stretched.
Yeah, I don't have the Medusa adapter. I haven't needed one so far, but
yeah, it's great. We work on a lot of body shop cars, Sam, and they it's a learning curve. We work on a lot of body shop cars, and sometimes it's most of the time it's stuff that they've missed, and it's around that area that they've already painted. So if it's the same adapter that I'm thinking that I think me and Dave are thinking about. It's the one that attaches to a drum stand. I think it is. It works good because you can push the light back further. You can actually, not have to suction off that car. I've probably been through about 7 or 8. All right, looks like Dave, you sent it to me. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so it goes to the stand. I have I've ordered 3 of them. So that's how much I like them.
I think I saw that in your one of your videos. I think that Lexus video. You do attach it to an actual stand, correct? And then you're able to kind of angle the board wherever you need to.
And the stand literally, like, it folds up. So I almost like that for, you know, as my second hail light. Because if you get 2 of those bad boys, you can have I always run 2 limited lights. So you can actually just have, you know, 2 lights, you know, however way you want to do it if you're doing a hood. And then I can roll with 1 hail light in the back of my truck and maybe a hood stand or something like that. So I just got 2 of them for the guys just because they do a lot of body shop work too. And I've learned that the way to glass it in is you push it, you know, you push the light back as far as you possibly can to get any kind of reflection. It just gives it a more of a, the light more gives it a more effect. So, and like the, Hudson says, great for cross checking at different angles. Sometimes you just can't, you can't angle that light. And I've probably been through maybe 5 or 6 suction cups. That's the one thing, Sam, that I said to myself. I said, if they could figure out the suction cup, which may be the solution with the new back. They have an oval one now that's coming out, Sam. You might want to pay attention, you know, keep up on that. It hasn't been released yet, but I think he has a newsletter. He'll just let you know when it's released. But it's actually an oval base. So hopefully that's better, but I'm tired of replacing those suction cups.
Yeah, and especially when it's cold too. A lot of times, especially here in Chicago today, I was working in 16-degree weather. The suction cups don't want to stick. You can clean the panel all you want, but just dirt and grime, and it just doesn't want to stick to that cold panel. The BatVac, I'm going to actually send both of my lights that I do have. I'm going to send them into them.
Get that BatVac.
Hopefully soon, yeah, get the BatVac.
Yeah, that's going to be epic. That new one is kind of like built in. Oh, man, that's going to be nice. Yeah, I'm going to try one because I'm so hesitant about.
I was watching Sal use it during the Dent Olympics and watching him with ease just stick that thing on. It's on, take it off, it's off, and it doesn't move. And it's just constant, you know, pressure.
I got to buy like 4 of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's not going to be too fun.
He's going to be sending packages back and forth. They overnight it to you, they said, too. They'll overnight it to you. They're within 24 hours, they said. So, what tools do you think have helped you in the PDR industry in the past 5 years? Number one for me is going to be the Drew's Tools adjustable door tool. I bought this thing, I think, last year. And I love it. It has a huge handle. It's got a long kick. It's got a super sharp tip. It's shaved so you can get down into doors with ease. It is one of my favorite door tools. And I am so glad that I picked it up. I need to actually pick up the longer one. And then I think number 2 will be the BatVac, because the amount of times I have replaced suction cups, like you said, that it's just so frustrating. When a suction cup won't suck, it won't stay on, it falls off, that's going to be the next investment. I can't think of – I mean, that Drew's Tools was probably the best thing in the last 5 years.
I don't have that Drew's Tools. I believe I have a PDR Finesse one that I think is the same. But I think what's helped me in the last 5 years of what I've noticed, I don't know if it was exactly 5 years, but I remember when I didn't have a lidded board. It was just a regular standard board that
LED
was
board.
Sprayed with spray paint, a white board, plastic board, sprayed with spray paint down the middle of it. And that's what I've worked dents out for years. And I was actually hesitant of getting the limited light.
I didn't even think about that.
I don't know about that. That's going to break because the lights in the past were some cigarette lighter lights. And 6 months later, the cord is all, you know, ripped apart. The light is cracking. So I was just like, no way am I going to invest that much money into a light. You know, there's no way. And then when he showed that video of him running it over with a motorcycle, I was like, okay,
I gotta have that
light.
Yeah, Yeah, so, I mean, I did not even think about that. I take it for granted, actually. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's what changed the industry, because some of these dents, I don't know how someone will work these dents out and glass it outside without a lidded board. Like,
now, is that skill? I don't know. Is that real skill right there? With the is that skill?
I mean, maybe my eyes just are that sensitive now where I can't work off a board. I've taken out small dents on boards, but the light got to be right. I got to have the light on the board and not on the car. I mean, it's a – I like that lidded board. And now with these new fluorescent – what they call it, 3D lenses. We've had a 3D lens for 10 years. I don't care what anybody say. I can show you that bad boy. And we used to attach the sticker to our lidded lights. And when the new James Lee light came in, we lost that connect for that sticker. So we never thought about it. The light was fine. We just loved that that color. And over the last, I think, 2 to 3 years, when he first came out of it, they were great. They weren't anything too impressive. But these new 3D reflecting boards are crazy. I mean, they look like the light is on.
Yeah, I have the green and the amber.
Yeah, that green.
And I like it because I can use it outside, because I'm completely mobile. So I'm able to use it outside. I'm able to use it inside. Great, great reflection.
Yeah, those lidded boards are money. Blending hammers. Send me the link to the tool, Dave. Okay, yeah, just my hand. Okay. Adjustable hand tools. Is he saying something about adjustable hand tools? I think all these tools are pretty much, I'm trying to think. And then the dent dowel. I think the dent dowel, I've had it for about 3 years now. And the dent dowel to me changed the way I actually do repairs. And actually I'm more confident in what I do as far as the leverage that I can provide when I'm pushing. So I'm not a sponsor for dent dowel. It's pretty much in every video that I make, but it's a great tool. There is a waiting period for the tool. I honestly don't know the reason why, but he says he sells a lot of them. So I don't know. I think it's something that you have to have as a PDR technician. That's just me. If you don't have it, sorry. I don't know. Yeah. I think you have to have it.
I think this would be a question for you, Chris. What do you recommend for someone thinking of adding a second unit to the business and finding the right person for it?
Wow.
How do you do that process? I mean,
second unit to the business. So I'm thinking he's saying a second person.
Another truck, yeah.
Another, or is he saying like another? Okay, so I'm going to answer this quick so we can get through the much. But a second unit and finding the right person. I try to believe that I can train anybody, or at least be patient enough to train everybody. But you got to have the willpower. I don't think a lot of people will sit outside with you, focus, and actually get the job done. And that takes a lot for a person to say, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to go make money on YouTube or something like that. So I like the younger generation. I know people are saying that they, you know, maybe they don't want to do any hands-on, you know, work, but some of them are out there and they're very motivated, and you can kind of train them to kind of mold them into a good person. I really don't focus on being a good tech and anything. It's just having that integrity. I think you're naturally going to, you know, be a good tech, and, you know, self-awareness. So when that's one of the things, or really one of the only of the things that I look at is the self-awareness. We, you know, so how they conduct themselves and all that stuff is integrity and all that stuff. But the self-awareness is pretty much what I look for when I'm in the interview. What do they do in certain situations? Why did they do that? And, you know, put them in a situation. I don't hire off of a interview. I try to pay them for 3 to 4 weeks. It sucks because I got to put them on my insurance for those 3 to 4 weeks. So I'm kind of a little selective, but I let them know, hey, you have 3 weeks to kind of wow me. And those are the things I'm looking for. Self-awareness, the drive, and the passion.
You're willing to take time out of your day
and give someone possibly the opportunity to come on board with you rather than having a 5 minute to 10 minute conversation. They, you know, gave you a resume and now you're going to hire them. You'll actually go above and beyond to possibly help this person and give them an opportunity with your company.
Yeah, I mean, prior to doing
PR, not many companies will do that. Not many, you know, leaders, bosses, whatever you want to call them, managers will do that. And that's awesome. I think that's something that I'm going to definitely take into consideration. You know, having someone ride around with me for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, and if they're really invested, that they're going to do it. It's hard because, you know, they want money. You know, if they're looking for a job, they're going to want money. It's definitely hard. And I think teaching someone a skill. And giving them that skill and putting faith in that they're not going to take the skill and run away with it, you know, it's a huge risk. So the fact that you have now, you know, you've built a team of trusted guys that, you know, that definitely says something for you.
Well, I have trust in my guys, and I'm only imagining that they have trust in me. And that's kind of what I speak. I don't ask them to do anything that I wouldn't do or that haven't already done. There has been plenty of times just to keep, you know, the doors open that I'm working 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night on probably some of the best accounts out there. And had to drive an hour and a half just to get that work. So at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, stay until 10, 11 o'clock at night. And in order to get that account also, you had to do that every other night or he'll just find another person. So it was a lot of struggle with, you know, my family, obviously, there was, you know, they took the brunt of it or majority of it. But, you know, now I do a little bit of, you know, pushing, a lot of pushing. And I do a lot of, I guess, networking and stuff like that. So, but I do rely on my team a lot and I think they rely on me. So I think it's more of a mutual relationship here, you know?
Yeah, I definitely understand that.
So hopefully that answered your question.
Is the K-Bar worth buying? Do you have the K-Bar?
No, but I will say that I will be getting one.
So I have the K-Bar. I definitely, it's not the everyday tool. It's definitely, you know, the once a month, once every 2 month type of tool. It's definitely nice when I have it, though. Let me tell you, when I have that certain damage that's needs to be, you know, the bulk needs to get pulled first. That K bar, that K bar comes out with the ice tabs and that layer the glue on there. You get a really, really nice strong pull from it. But they came out with the slot bar. I think it was. They have that slot K bar now with the two. Would be a little bit better only because with the K bar, you're having to lift with one hand and then possibly knock down the crowns as well.
Mm-hmm.
With the slotted bar, you're able to keep that constant pressure and then you're able to kind of knock down and move crowns as you know, as you work through the repair.
Yeah, I have the,
you also have the dentile, right? Yeah. You also have the dentile. I know you can kind of use, right?
So you can use the dent dowel, but the dent dowel, I have the 22 heavy, but the K bar is stronger. The dent dowel does well, and I can use it from time to time, but I think that K bar with that constant pressure, I have a slot bar that, that I bought from dent dowel, Sal was what we call them. So that I bought from Sal. And I think that was I haven't used that tool. I've had it for about 6 months and I just haven't used it. It's kind of small. I don't know. Maybe I forget about it myself, but I haven't used it. So I think the K bar is worth it, but you can, get the dent dowel and use it the same way. If with all the attachments.
Yeah. Yeah, I know they have a package there with the glue and the tabs and the bar. I think I had just bought the bar because I had bought the tabs before and I was using the super tabs with the slide hammer.
Uh-huh.
And it worked, but having that nice, slow, big pull with the K-bar, leveraging off a tire, you know, or a strong point on the vehicle, definitely makes it a lot easier. It's just not one of those, you know, it's not just there and I'm just going to, you know, use it for door dings and stuff like that. But when that big smash comes along, I'm glad I do have it.
Cool. Perfect. So let's go back on that topic since we don't have any other questions. And basically it was the next reason to use PDR possibly over a conventional repair. Looks like we got some questions coming in here.
No.
Hey guys, I found the channel today. I will be subscribing. I think about getting into the industry and would like some advice on how to get into and not be burned. I see a lot of schools online. So Victor Cruz, you want to read that off? Or you want me to? Do you see it?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he's thinking about getting into the industry and he'd like some advice on how to get in and not get burned. He says he sees a lot of schools online. There's a lot of schools online. There's a lot of schools in a lot of different places. And it's hard to find a good, reputable teacher who's not just going to take your money and run. You know, I do a little bit. I say a little bit, a very minimal training. And it's usually with already experienced techs. And I kind of just teach them the ways I do things. I believe you offer a little bit of training as well for your, I know on the East Coast, I think you have trained, I think one or two guys. Well, you've trained your team.
Right.
So, yeah, not getting burned it's tough. There's a lot of people who will take your money and run. A lot of people will take your money and run.
Yeah, definitely. But how would he actually get in? Let me stop for a second. CCB, can you please just IG message me? I'll send you a picture of what you're talking about. If you could just IG message me real quick on at Dentless Touch, I'll send you a quick picture. But anyway, so how would you get in the industry? Knowing what you know now, how would you get in the industry?
Me personally, you know, I paid for a 2-week course, and back then it was a hefty amount of money. And after those 2 weeks, I thought I knew everything. I thought I was ready to take on accounts. I thought I was ready to go to retail houses. It wasn't until I actually got proper training, from another company. Another company did train. So, getting into the industry is not hard. It's becoming proficient in the industry is what's tough. I mean, you can, you know, be an average tech. You can just be another guy with some tools and stuff like that. Becoming a really good technician is going to be the tough part.
Yeah, I, if I had to get into this industry, I would definitely try to work for someone and try to find someone. Most of the guys that are in this industry, they're a little, if they've been in there for years, I think they're a little burnt out or they're kind of looking for somebody to kind of take over anyway. And I really don't think you'll have to go anywhere else. If you kind of choose the right person, if that's not an option, I'll do a little plug here. We'll be rolling out some training. It's not everything that you need, but it's affordable training, and that's what we're trying to bring to you guys. And it's just to get your feet wet, and then I recommend one-on-one training. One-on-one training is definitely needed, and try to find someone that you trust to give you that.
Do you hate doing R&I?
I don't think it's something that I
excel at. Right.
I know how to do it. I have an R&I set. I try to train all my guys to give them the ability to do it and the confidence.
I feel it's a skill you need. I feel it's a skill that you really need. It takes practice just as much as dents to not break anything on your way out or putting it back in. Do I hate it? I don't want to say hate it. Do I dislike when I have to do more work than needed? Yes. But I will take that extra time to take whatever needs to be taken apart only because I'd like to do a good job. But that's just me.
I would say
I will take a taillight out. I'll take a headlight out. If it's a headliner, I can do them, no problem. I would just rather do them at a, you know, at an account of mine or a shop, have the customer come to one of the shops that I maybe work with, and have the shop do it because they are a little more proficient. They do it more often. The liability then does get taken off of me, which is nice. But if anything does go wrong, it's at a reputable place that can get parts fast that, you know, may be able to get a clip or something like that if anything does go wrong. But I will do the base. I'll do a door panel, headlight, taillight. I won't do an actual door at a customer's home, but I will do the interior panel. I will do headliner. I'll drop it in a corner here, there. A full headliner drop at a customer's home, I will not do.
Yeah, I would. We charge for it. But I think the one thing that kind of gets to me is that these cars are not built to be torn down and put back, especially the interior panels. So stuff breaks, and then just kind of bringing that to the customer, they really don't understand. I mean, a bumper, that's designed to come off, but certain things in the interior, or if it's like a 10-year-old car has been sitting out in the sun and you're trying to take the liner down of a hood, and you know, you're going to just have 10, 15 clips that you're going to have to replace. It's just the plastic is brittle. So I've seen R&I's done in a body shop. They're a little more aggressive because they could probably, it's just what it took to actually get to this repair. They could, you know, probably say that into the insurance company. But when you have the customer standing over and she's ready to leave and wants the car done right, we have to really pay attention to the small details, because we don't get that second chance to, or even have the car, you know, to be able to say, hey, let me order the part, come tomorrow, we'll put it in. No one knows. So I think that's the part that I really don't like is I wish maybe people would be more understanding. But I never had a problem with it. It's just I have to really, really focus when I do R&Is and make sure that everything is taken out, make sure we didn't miss. And with the different variations of cars, it's hard. I mean, I took a Porsche door apart and there's so much, the wood paneling had to come off the door, and just all kinds of stuff had to come out. You take the door panel off and then there's a carrier plate. So now the window got to come out, all the trim around the window. It's like, oh man, it's a rabbit hole here. And on top of that, you told the customer just maybe a door panel had to come off.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean,
you gotta kind of know what you're doing. And
that's the struggles that we have to go with every day. We have to deal with every day.
Yeah, but, you know, every job I think has, you know, good and I guess you can call it bad. It's just the difficulties, I guess. So that's one thing I think you will have to learn. Any other questions? I did for 3 years back, yeah, for a week, and was lost when I came back. yes, they definitely do, Sam. They definitely do. All right, so we're gonna wrap it up.
It's our first one.
First one. We're gonna start doing this every week, guys. Yes, so yeah. I'm gonna try to put a reminder out. I think it's possible to be self-taught. A question was, 100%. Is it possible to be self-taught and to be a good tech?
100%.
I think so. It's how you self-teach yourself. So a lot of Facebook, you know, my YouTube, I'm constantly giving out tips. Dave's constantly giving out tips. You know, and if you could kind of put all those things together, I think so. I really do. You're going to have a lot of errors, but If it's your personal car. That's
why,
I mean,
but this is why we're doing this, you know, so people can ask questions and people can look for advice. And I mean, we're willing to give anything that we know. You know, I'm willing to give any knowledge that I have of the PDR industry. I am willing to, you know, let someone else, you know, pick my brain and anything you may need. You can contact me on YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, all at Windy City Dent Repair. I've rated the internet everyday practicing.
Yeah, see, and you can
and keep that going. Keep that going. Keep that motivation going. Keep finding stuff. Keep finding material. We're gonna keep trying to keep putting more stuff out. Like you gave a little shameless plug earlier. We're gonna be having a little training program, I think, coming up soon. It's still in the works a little bit, but once we kind of get that finalized, you guys will probably be the first to know. So stay tuned with us. We're going to, you know, have a lot more coming.
Yep. So, guys, thanks for watching. I greatly appreciate the support and the we seem like we're getting more and more people watching this as we're wrapping it up, but we are going to be doing this on a weekly basis. So, in this chat or in the comment section, if you can leave us, maybe the best time for you, it'll be Eastern time. It's better for us, or Central. Just make sure you specify which one you think is best for you, what day, if it's morning or evening. But it may be just a Monday madness, you know, PDR talk, which what we might do. So you would need help to point in those. Times are depressing. Yeah. So thanks, guys. Thank you guys for watching. And we'll see you next time. Dave, do you want to say anything? You got to plug yourself.
Windy City Dent Repair. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Yelp, wherever you guys are going to review me. But yeah, you can find me everywhere. All at Windy City Dent Repair. Subscribe to the channel. I'm coming out with a lot more stuff this year. Vlogs, how to's, reviews. If you guys follow Chris at Dentless Touch already, then you already know how it's going to go. I'm just going to be putting my own little spin on it. And I appreciate you guys for watching. Appreciate all the questions. I'm excited to keep 2018 rolling just like this. And stay tuned next week because we're going to be coming out with more lives, more videos, more content. And just stay tuned. That's all I got to say. Stay tuned.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. That's it. Thanks for watching.
See you guys.